The year was 1999. As the world prepared to welcome a new millennium, a torrent of alarming headlines threatened to extinguish the celebratory spirit. At that time, half of households in the United States owned a computer, but most Americans, like other computer users worldwide even today, had little idea what went on inside those bulky boxes, and the average user certainly did not understand the mechanics of what might go wrong with their Macs and PCs, and possibly every other digital device in an increasingly interconnected world, as the clock tolled midnight on December 31st. Y2K, the Millennium Bug. It sounded scary, but what was it? Back in the 1960s, the Pleistocene of computing, storing information on mainframe computers was expensive, and providing storage space on popular commercial computers was an expense that manufacturers didn't want to absorb or pass on to customers. Their solution? Minimal storage. If you bought an IBM computer in the early 1990s, that big box contained as little as 2 kilobytes of memory. To put this in perspective, today's iPhone is 32 million times more powerful than that. Beyond cost, there was the human factor. In the 1960s, what programmer was thinking ahead to the year 2000? To conserve that precious computer memory, programmers compressed years from 4 to 2 digits. 1999 became 99. December 31, 1999 became 12/31/99. That worked for a few decades. But what would happen at the conclusion of Millennium Eve? The date setting on computers would roll over to 010100. But would computers recognize 00 as 2000 or 1900? The first recorded mention of a year 2000 problem was in an internet news group in 1985. No one in business or government seemed to take much notice. A 1993 warning in Computer World has been described as the information age equivalent of the midnight ride of Paul Revere. In that article, Peter de Jager, a South Africa-born Canadian, cautioned that a misreading of the year could cause catastrophe, disrupting financial markets, telephone systems, and more. That alarm bell also went largely unheeded. The general lack of concern didn't reverse course until 1997, when telecommunications giant AT&T announced it would devote 60% of the time and money of its total compliance efforts to test source code changes in preparation for Y2K. Even then, not everyone took the hint. A 1998 preparedness survey showed that among 13 sectors studied in the United States, government was the least ready for the so-called millennium bug. By 1999, amelioration efforts had reached a fever pitch. Estimates of the combined public and private expenditures on Y2K preparation in the United States, the United Kingdom, Canada, Denmark, and the Netherlands range from $200 billion to $858 billion. All those countries took a proactive stance. Unlike Italy, Russia, and South Korea, where little was done in preparation. Meanwhile, leaders sounded dire warnings. In the United Kingdom, Action 2000, a public education initiative, was launched. In Denmark, as reported on a family listserv, all households were sent a government brochure with pertinent information about the potential dangers. This is not one of these summer movies where you can close your eyes during the scary parts, U.S. President Bill Clinton cautioned. In a late 90s congressional hearing, Chris Dodd and Robert Bennett, U.S. senators representing Connecticut and Utah respectively, painted a dark picture, saying, somewhat facetiously, Bennett later claimed, that the three places they wouldn't want to be on New Year's Eve 1999 were in an elevator, an airplane, or a hospital. Their Senate colleague, Daniel Patrick Moynihan, also raised the alarm. I have no proof that the sun is about to rise on the apocalyptic millennium of which chapter 20 of the Book of Revelations predicts, yet it is becoming apparent to all of us that a once seemingly innocuous computer glitch could wreak worldwide havoc. Privately, Moynihan wrote to President Clinton, "You may wish to turn to the military to take command of dealing with the problem." Even in the midst of an impeachment trial, Congress took care to monitor the compliance efforts of the government and industry, devoting particular attention to the work being done to ensure that utilities, as well as the financial and healthcare sectors, would be ready. Clinton launched his own Council on Year 2000, headed by the Y2K czar, John Koskinen, to coordinate efforts in the United States, while the World Bank-backed International Y2K Cooperation Center helped other countries prepare.